right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say to everybody in the chat, Greg Nineman is on, Trev McGroin is on, USA Abbey Girl is on, Barn Evil is on, GGG. JGCK is on, Mr. Cool Dude is on, General Plowman is on, Robin Aroni is on, JD Joy is on, Guitar Glenn is on, Agravain is on, Jules 21 Hours is on, Nitsua 99 is on, let me see, N Johns 127 is on, scrolling down, Gloyd Shaw is on, Kathy Mardet is on, Arcadia Angel is on, Ian Mark is on, Hefner is on, Mike Griffith is on, Trev McGroin is on, Graffiti Bug is on, Supergirl 21 is on, Mobetta 01 is on. Richard Perry is on. DK Jackson is on. K4 VMS is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Jim Brody is on. Sheila K is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Patrina C is on. Release the Hog is on. Biggie 926 is on. Let me see here. Big Scott 1 is on. Stefan Toms is on. Scrolling down, Charlie 340 is on. N Johns 127 is on. Sue Sun Wu 45 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Let me grab three or four more. Captain Cliff is on. Let me see here. Ever Eden is on. Luann 5 is on. Let me get two more here that I haven't seen yet. Scrolling down, Conservative Waffle is on. Uncle Wally is on. Bob Curley is on. There's a bunch of new ones I can see right here. Bud Dave is on, excuse me, Granite2468 is on. Love you guys, appreciate each and every one of you. It was really fascinating there in the pregames watching the interview of the, you know, basically the Biden supporter in the congressional hearing being asked about taking back a statement that she said. She said that the Biden administration never allowed in mass amounts of criminals through the southern border. And the guy just simply asked, do you want to retract that now that it's been proven? You know, 200 of them were found on the terrorist watch list. Numerous rapes, numerous murders, numerous shootings, numerous robberies, numerous DUI homicides and everything else have been committed by illegal aliens since then. Do you want to retract that statement? And she said no, because, quote, I do not believe that's what the Biden administration did. And since she was corrected by the congressman saying, well, if you allow in 15 million illegals, that's exactly what you are allowing to happen. But you see, it is actually a matter of, you can't have it both ways. Well, I don't believe that the Biden administration allowed in a bunch of criminals, but I believe they allowed in 15 million people, but without any sort of verification of who they are, without any vetting at all of who they are. So you are allowing in criminals, so you can't have it both ways. And her response was, I do not believe that the Biden administration was allowing them in unvetted. It is actually faith. These people operate by faith. I know that most of them don't believe what they're saying, but some of them, they just actually get some sort of motto and they repeat it over and over again, just like they do when they indoctrinate you into a cult. And then these people just spout off these indoctrinated statements over and over and over again. It really just blows my mind how people do not want to operate by fact. They want to operate by indoctrination statements. I mean, that can go right or left too with white-pilled people. But most of the time, of course, it's on the left. But anyway, so title of the show, Chucky Big Mad. So let's go right to it. So Chuck Schumer went to have a briefing with PDEXF and other Defense Department or Department of War officials today, and he was not very happy. So here's him we're going to do. Here's him before. We're going to then show you what exactly they're talking about, and then Chucky afterwards. Eric Doherty video breaking. A furious Chuck Schumer says he's about to storm up to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and demand answers about why they're taking out narco. Imagine being so fervent, so passionate about not taking out narco terrorists. Play for me.
Now, finally, this afternoon, Secretaries Hegseth and Rubio and top officials will brief the Gang of Eight, and I'll be there. I plan to confront Secretary Hegseth on exactly what the hell is going on in the Caribbean. I plan to demand Secretary Hegseth give the total, unedited videos of what happened in the September 2nd boat strikes. Trump originally agreed to do this, but now they're afraid. What's Hegseth hiding? And second, I will demand of Rubio and Hegseth what the hell is going on in the Caribbean and in Venezuela. What are their plans? How far do they plan to go? Trump has already talked about Venezuela waters and even going attacking Venezuela on land. How far do they intend to go? And when Trump says these crazy things, does he really mean them? And will he drag America into an endless war? It's about getting truth for the American people. The American people are entitled to see the unedited videos. Last week, Trump said he'd have no problem releasing the videos. Then yesterday, he walked back his statement, claiming he said it was fake news. You know, this guy's amazing. He said it. It's on the air. Millions saw it. Now he says it's fake news, even though he said it. It means he's a fake. Let's be clear. The only way to bring clarity is to release the full unedited tapes. That's why the NDA included a provision requiring the Pentagon to hand the tapes over. If they don't, Pete Hegseth says travel budget gets slashed 25%. And this proposal had the support of Democrats and Republicans, including Wicker, including Republicans in the House and Senate. It shows you that both parties are united that these videos ought to be released so the American people can see them. Congress is united and demanding transparency. I strongly support this provision, fought to keep it in the bill. Trump, Hegseth, Rubio must do the right thing. And they all must release the tapes and tell the American people the truth the people deserve to hear.
See, now he wants the truth that people deserve to hear. So let's give Chuck the truth just real quick, off subject. You know, Chuck, nobody's intimidated by you, that you're going to be in this briefing and you'll be there. Do you think like Pete Hegseth, who's fought in a war and can actually do 50 or 60 push-ups with ease, is actually bothered by you being there, an effeminate man with man boobs? I mean, this is an effeminate, hunched over, muscle-less, cuck boy man, effeminate man. Do you really think that people are actually intimidated by you? This reminds me, and we were talking about this before the show. If you saw like the Piers Morgan, Nick Fuentes interview, these guys, and they're a little bit, they're different in ages. I think Piers Morgan's more like my age, and then Chuck Schumer's near 80. But they're all kind of have the same mentality that people believe their crap anymore. Like they still believe in these sort of traditional mores, and these traditional institutions still hold some sort of credibility in the eyes of people like me or younger people, whatever it may be. Nobody cares anymore. And here's the thing, it really doesn't have anything. The reason why I said people like me is because I'm talking about those of you that are watching this podcast, those of us who are red-pilled, and there are millions and millions and millions of us to different levels, and people vacillate and yeah, people fall off the rails like Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever. But people like us who are red-pilled, we don't sit there and go, oh, wow, Chuck Schumer's a powerful man. Oh, wow, Piers Morgan does not approve of me. That really ruins my life or my opinion of myself is destroyed. Nobody cares anymore. I mean, people used to care when they thought that institutions had credibility. None of them have credibility anymore. The media has no credibility. Piers Morgan was whoring vaccines, whoring 6-foot distancing, whoring shutdowns, whoring all of those things. All right, and banning speech in the name of democracy. And then he's going to actually think that he has some sort of credibility, that if he denounces somebody, that it's going to actually have an impact. And Chuck Schumer, I mean, every reporter up there, even those who love him because they're all leftists, are all still thinking the same thing. This guy is a paper tiger. He has no fangs. He's got no ability to do anything. He has no credibility. He has no respect. Nobody has any respect for this man who puts cheese on a raw cheeseburger. Nobody has any respect for you. You're bent over with your moops. Nobody has any respect for you. It's like Bill Gates walking around telling people how to eat with his bouncing man boobs. Nobody cares. Honestly, then people don't. I mean, these people, it would be lovely if they actually, people would consider that to be tremendously mean for me to say that to somebody. No, you know what? That's actually the truth. Don't tell me about how to eat when you have man boobs. don't act like you are worried about, as he said, forever wars when Chuck Schumer has ushered us into and still wants us to be part of one in Ukraine. Endless wars. We don't care. You're going to be demanding the video. Do you think that carries any weight at all? Nobody cares. I mean, you can calling us racist carries no weight. Calling us xenophobic carries no weight. Calling us transphobic carries no weight. Calling us homophobic carries no weight. Calling us a Nazi carries no weight. None of it carries any weight. Calling us a white supremacist terrorist carries no weight. Calling us a racist carries no weight. Doesn't matter anymore. It's over now. It's just, you know what it is? It is the title of Alex Jones's show. It's InfoWars. That's really it. That's that. And, you know, people, the traditional institutions, because somebody's a senator, doesn't mean anything anymore. Doesn't mean anything. It honestly doesn't. Back when I was in my 20s in the 80s when I was in my teens or 70s when I was preteen, the institutions carried weight, but they've now lost all credibility via their corruption. So anyway, here's what Chuck Schumer is saying. Now, again, they're still coming out. The various Democrats, the Seditious Six, and others are calling these men shipwrecked sailors to this day. Here's the people that they're actually talking about. Chad Caton video, these poor fishermen. Play for me.
Wayne, there's definitely a lot of stuff in the boat. Looks like he might be dumping some more stuff here. Yep, one. Mark this posit, 0922. 07947. Copy.
Over 30 now.
How many objects? Okay, it's about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
How many? 12.
13.
6, 2, 5, 1,
14. Stand by.
It appeared to be packages, and the first one you couldn't.
This guy's going to beach here pretty soon, I think. He's in a narrow stream here.
Is somebody at King of SATCOM?
And Bulldog from Victory, where counting packages being thrown off. Stand by one. Yes, John, I was, so that I didn't have to hear him.
No.
Another large object at 0921 07948. And he's changing course. Looks like he's coming back up.
So two more packages, 15, 16?
Yep. And those were larger. I don't know, those made a larger splash than the other ones.
You see, Aaron just brought this up. And what you need to do with these people, what I would do on all their shows. Is actually, I would say, okay, you know what? I'll come on your shows, and you can interrupt me. You can try to interrupt me all you want, because good luck being louder than me. I'm a very loud person, very loud, very loud voice. I project well. So you probably won't, because then what I would do in those situations, I'll just yell louder and louder and louder. And that's what I would do. But anyway, if I was going on one of their shows to be interviewed by one of them, I would bring Aaron with me and we'd have a tech set up. And I'd say, here's, as Aaron brought this up, show them this. Make them defend it. Chuck, just tell me what you want done with that. Maybe they would say, you know, we're going to interdict it with the Coast Guard. Okay, how's that worked over the last four decades?
Right.
I mean, we've had this quote unquote war on drugs, and that you can, and I could deep dive into every single category and focus on NGOs. But the reason why there's a war on drugs is because Democrats enrich themselves via the war on drugs, via NGOs. Because what you do is you assign an NGO to deal with the war on drugs. I know this is very general, but then of course you give that NGO $5 billion. They spend $4.9 billion of it paying themselves and giving donations to Democratic Party campaigns and Democratic Party politicians' wives, and they all enrich themselves on the war on drugs. And then they give $1 million to the war on drugs out of $5 billion. That's all coming out now. It's all coming out. But anyway, you show them these videos. Okay, Chuck, tell me exactly what you want. Show them a video of an abortion. Show them a living human being, arms, legs, thumbs, fingers, toes, a pounding heart, facial expressions, face that looks just like their parents. And you show them an abortion where you have that person going in with serrated scissors. And well, serrated forceps more than anything else, really what they are, because they don't even cut. They grab and pull apart and make them live through and watch through that which they support. And ask them so you're for this, right? For the record, you're for that, right? That's what you do. And make them say it in front of everybody. You see, that is the essence of the gospel itself. You can't get saved unless you would first admit I'm a loathsome sinner. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 7:24. So, I mean, that's what you actually make them do. So that's what they are trying to save. That is who they're trying to save. And Aaron was commentating during the whole thing with good commentary. You know what they're actually doing is they're driving that by a secluded landmass, secluded island, and they're dumping all that off because the tide, even though they're only yards off of the shore anyway, the tide will just keep it right there and then usher it in to the drug traffickers that will pick it up on shore. Chuck Schumer's passion in life is to make sure you save the lives of those men who are shipwrecked sailors and fishermen. What exactly are you fishing for? I mean, imagine actually putting out that narrative. If you hope, there's 511 people that are watching right now. Hopefully you're a Democrat and you've stumbled upon this show because I want you to defend the narrative of saving their lives. These shipwrecked sailors. Now, of course, if O'Biden would have done it, and I meant to say that, because whether it's O'Biden, whether it's Jimmy Carter, whatever, if they would have done this, they would have supported it because the Democrats doing it and would be no problem. But since Trump's doing it, they're against it. And the double tap, triple tap has been in place under the edicts of the Pentagon for 5, 6, 7, 10, 20. I mean, what, it can't be 20, but well, it can be maybe, well, under the edicts of the Department of War. I mean, for decades, tens of decades, there's always, what have you ever heard? Oh, you know what? Halt. There's injured people on the ground. Stop shooting. When have you ever heard that until now? And what they do, and they're actually going, the narrative that they're actually pushing right now is a narrative to try to incriminate people when they take power. So, because then, once again, and I don't mean to get into this all the time, but I just can't help it because I can't stand the corruption in the judicial system. It's to create a tacit, really non-connection to a crime. It's just like when they prosecute Jack Smith prosecuting Donald Trump for basically seditious conspiracy for the J6 riot, right? Because he said to go to the Capitol and peacefully and patriotically protest. And then they lied, of course, at first and said that he urged people to break into the Capitol. And then that was proven on video that wasn't the case, but they still said, well, no matter what, his verbiage caused it. Well, okay, then the verbiage caused the shooting of Steve Scalise via Bernie Sanders then. So what they do is create some sort of tacit connection to a crime. I hate Democrats, okay? Right then, you cause some Democrat to be harmed. See what I'm saying? That right there, that's what they'll do. Well, no, but all I did was cause their feelings to be harmed. You know, so, and whatever it may be, no, it doesn't matter. You cause, and then somebody commits some crime against a Democrat. Well, you caused it because you said you hate Democrats. And so they'll just connect that to a crime. All you got to do, deal like that would never work. It works all the time. All you got to do is bring it to a blue judge with a blue jurisdiction, with a blue prosecutor, it's over. That is the way that it is. That is actually the way it is. Why I'm never going in. I will not go and stand trial in the United States of America unless I know I'm getting a fair trial. I won't do it.
Yep.
I'm not going in. There's no way, because what they'll do is they can say that about me right now. Tom, say some yahoo goes and commits a violent act against some sort of Democrat. They can pull up my podcast and say, well, you caused it because they don't even have to prove that that person ever even watched this. They just could say they may have watched it. So you instigated the crime. You're like, well, that would never fly. It would. Please understand this. The 532 people that are watching right now, please understand this. It is that way. All they have to do is accuse you of a crime and get it in front of a blue magistrate, and it is over. You're like, somebody will come in and save me. Who? If you're sitting there, I have a video exonerating myself of the crime, and they don't let you show it in trial. Even when they do, the blue judge, the blue jury, and the blue prosecutor don't even care. It doesn't matter. You're like, but it would show them. It would show them that I'm innocent. It doesn't matter. It is. They will still convict you. It is not a matter of guilt or innocence. It is a matter of a political info war. That is all that it is. It is a political war. And I'm not talking about violence in any way, shape, or form. Although it is violent for them to continuously lock up people for charges that do not exist. But that's what they do. Crimes that don't exist that weren't committed. So Chuck gets the briefings. Remember, that's the boat we just showed you. That's what Chuck is defending. Chuck is defending that. We want to keep those guys that are dropping off giant payloads of drugs all over the Caribbean that are heading for the United States. He wants to make sure that those guys are properly taken care of. He never cared. No, it's funny, though. He never cared about them until 2 weeks ago. Never. Not one time. I've never seen an organization that was put together by Democrats, which was defend the narco terrorists. Or they don't like to call them, even though a year ago, they were all calling them narco terrorists. All of them calling them narco terrorists. Now, they say that narco terrorism doesn't exist. I can show you an hour's worth of videos of Democrats quoting the word, verbiage, narco terrorism. And now they will say on camera, I never believed that there was narco terrorists. I don't believe in calling these people narco terrorists. They're shipwrecked sailors. So here's Chuck coming out of the briefing. Schumer, quote, it was a very unsatisfying briefing. Play for me.
It was a very unsatisfying briefing. I asked Secretary Hegseth, Secretary of Defense Hegseth, would he let every member of Congress see the unedited videos of the September 2nd strike? His answer, we have to study it. Well, in my view, they've studied it long enough. Congress ought to be able to see it. I told him that every member of Congress, so many members of Congress, Democrat and Republican, had a right to see it, wanted to see it, and should see it. In terms of Venezuela, I asked them what their strategy is and what they were doing. Again, did not get satisfying answers at all.
So suddenly, Chucky wants unedited videos. No unedited videos of any. Obama hit Syria literally tens of thousands of times. Not one time did Chuckie Schumer ever ask. And we're talking about 14,000 strikes in a year in Syria. Not one time did Chuckie. If you tell me, Aaron, Joe, not one of those was double tap. I mean, and by the way, again, even if it was a double tap, these are narco terrorists. Obama was, not in a court of law, but convicted of killing two Americans, not one request for that video footage. And by the way, it's a drone strike, so that it's all videoed. He hit a wedding to kill one terrorist at a wedding. He killed 300 or 400 people. No request for a video. And you're like, well, it wasn't a double tap. First of all, we don't know it wasn't a double tap. But second of all, you are still killing 100, 200, 300 innocent people. No matter what, the drug runners are two narco terrorists getting double tapped. Here, you have completely innocent people killed by Barack Obama over and over and over again, 14,000 times in Syria alone. You're like, Tom, that has to be some sort of hyperbolic number. It's not. It's not. And where, by the way, he wants unedited videos. Well, how about an unedited flight log, Aaron? You got that yet?
Let me check.
Jeffrey Epstein flight log yet? Still out?
Nope.
Because for 4 years, Tricky Dicky Little Durbin, he had it. And Chucky Schumer never requested the Epstein flight log, not one time. And by the way, how about the J6 unedited videos that we never got? 15,000 hours worth of J6 videos that exonerate basically every J6 defendant. Just curious, because they were convicted of seditious conspiracy, beating on cops they never beat up, committing crimes they never committed. The most serious crimes were trespassing. And the most serious crimes were the 270 FBI agents that were there, in my opinion. But anyway, so where's the unedited video on that, Chuck? You want unedited videos? Fine, let's break out all the unedited videos. Aaron just sent me something. Between 550 and 860 drone strikes were authorized by Obama across all theaters, civilian deaths, 353 to 1,235. What's the time frame of that, though?
His presidency.
Yeah, it's way more than that. So that is way off, according to Alex Jones. So, way off. That's way too light. He way more than 500 drone strikes in his entire presidency. There's thousands. He had thousands. That may be in one specific theater, but there's thousands. He was thousands of drone strikes in the Syria alone. So, anyway.
I think those were operations, not strikes, I just gave you.
Oh, operations.
So it's 860 operations.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go. That's what Aaron's talking about, drone operations. So a drone operation could be multiple drone strikes. Right. So anyway, crazy. So you're looking at, he had 500 to 1,000 drone operations in each one, multiple drone strikes.
Right.
So anyway, that's the deal. So, not one unedited video was requested. Not one unedited video was requested from J6. Not one unedited video was requested from the southern border, where Joe Biden was allowing 15,000 illegals per day to cross the southern border. Weird, isn't it? Now suddenly he wants an unedited video of two narco terrorists. I'm sorry, shipwrecked sailors. How are they shipwrecked? I mean, what were they when they were out there casting their nets? Did they hit an iceberg? How exactly are they shipwrecked? You were fine with the one tap, but not the two taps. So they certainly aren't shipwrecked because the one tap shipwrecked them. It was the second tap that bothers Chucky so much, but the thousands of drone strikes by Obama, by Biden. Oh, by the way, because Chucky goes back 50 years in the Senate. How about all Bush's drone strikes? How about all of Clinton's drone strikes? Clinton blew up an entire aspirin factory for just to hide his own malfeasance with Monica Lewinsky. Hit a drone factory. That's a Freudian slip. An aspirin factory, killing the janitor there just to cover up that he was having sex with an intern. Chuck Schumer, no problem with it. Dude, that's what it means to be a moralist, principleless whore. Because you know, whatever benefits you, you'll be on the side of. I mean, if Hitler rose from the dead and it would benefit Chuck Schumer, he would be pro-Hitler. Pro-Mao, pro-anybody. Anybody that he thinks that would benefit him. He could never be pro-Jesus because Jesus would tell him the truth about himself. Other people, totalitarians, will lie to ingratiate themselves with you and get your support. Chuck Schumer will do anything so that he can continue to be a celebrity, continue to enrich himself, and continue to wield his power around D.C. He'll do anything for it. He'll whore himself around to do any of it. All right, let's get into Donald Trump, more on Trump here. That, to me, is a great victory. If you are ticking off Chuck Schumer, you are doing right. People always think, and I preach about this all the time, that if people love you, that means that you are doing right. No, woe to you when all men speak well of you. For so do their fathers to the false prophets, Luke 6:26. So you know what? It doesn't mean that you are doing well because men speak well of you. You should be like, who is speaking well of me? That's what you should be asking. Who's speaking well of me? Because there certainly should be some people that are not speaking well of you. That's Jesus, was it not? They nailed Jesus. Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross by the majority. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for narrow is the way, and few find it. Matthew 7:13-14. I cut it down some, but anyway. So Jesus was actually nailed to the gate and nailed to the cross by the majority. He was not accepted. He was hated. Then you have to ask, who hated him? The religious elitists, the people who rejected the truth. Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. John 8:45. I mean, it's backed up in the book of Galatians. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So, I mean, that's what happens. But you should always ask, who is my enemy? So it's a great day when Ilhan Omar's mad at you. It's a great day when Chuck Schumer's mad at you. You are doing the exact right thing. Pete, you should go into those meetings like Pete Hegseth did, rather ambivalent. You should be like, you know what? Say all you want, you bearing moron. I don't care what you think. Just sit there. I'm going to tell you exactly. And look at him right in the eye with a condescending glare. You should be. You should think of yourself as above that person. Because that person is a lying, manipulative power whore, and you should be sitting there going, okay, how long is this meeting? And just keep looking at your watch. Remember how, like, Biden looked at his watch when we were bringing home our American dead from the Abbey Gate that he killed, that he could have saved, that he knew was going to happen and did let it happen anyway? And you just keep looking at your watch the whole time while you're sitting there. Any other questions? And don't even call them by their title either. Just call them. Any other questions, Schumer? That's what I would do. I'm not going to be rude, but I'm not going to be honoring to them. And there's a fine line there. I'm not going to honor these people. I'll call them by their name. Okay, I got you, Chuck. All right, Schumer. Okay, I'm not going to sit there and call them names or anything else. Okay, Schumer. Any other questions? Not going to be the honorable Chuck Schumer, Senator. I'm done with these people. Yeah. They're not honorable. They're not worthy of respect. I'm not giving it to them. All right, rap response 47. Everything is coming out. The thing is, we will see, and Trump has tried. He has tried to get people. He's failed at some things. He's done well in others. Yeah, I mean, it's gone down. I was like 90-95%. I would say Trump does well 95% of the time. It's really more like 80%. He's more 80-20 now, but that's certainly better than any president in my lifetime. So he's still number one, but mass failings in some areas, but tremendous successes in others. And one of the things, if he actually exposes the corruption of government and brings in people like Ed Martin, I think he needs to bring in credit Alex Jones on this with his interview of Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn lives right here in this area. I've met him several times. Great man. Great man. Great family. He should bring him in. He should put again, this all credit Alex Jones. He should put and General Flynn. He should put General Flynn in charge of an establishment, a rooting out of establishment task force. Root out all the corruption in D.C. because you're going to have to get into the intel agencies and everything else. But anyway, so here's part of that. Rapid Response 47. Obamacare was set up for insurance companies. Trump speaking in the Politico interview. Play for me.
Obamacare was set up for insurance companies to become rich, okay? That was why they, in my opinion, I think the Democrats did it for that reason. Do you know that insurance company stocks have gone up 16, 17, 1800% over a short period of time? They've been paid trillions of dollars. And what I'm saying is very simple. I don't want to pay them anything. No money for the insurance company. Sorry, fellas, I know them all. No money for the insurance companies. I want to pay the money directly to the people and let the people get
Congress
their own health care. But
on
you know who's fighting
yet.
Me in that? The Who? Democrats.
He thinks Minnesota's bad. Wait until you hear about Obamacare. A new study from the Government Accountability Office just exposed the program as a criminal piggy bank. The office submitted 24 fake Obamacare applications, and 23 of them were approved. So they just made up a bunch of names, put in fictitious Social Security numbers, or for some, put in no records at all, and Obamacare sent them a check. This is exactly what Elon Musk and Doge were talking about. We wouldn't have to print so much money and run so much debt if we could just stop giving away money to thieves.
So basically, anybody can fill out a request for Obamacare money, anybody, because they just did it. This was conducted by the Trump administration. They actually filled in fictitious applications for Obamacare and basically slightly hyperbolic, but not really because it was 95%. Basically, 95% of fictitious applications were accepted to, and when they're accepted, that means you're about to receive Joe's money, Aaron's money, your money for nothing. And they were all accepted. This is still under the Trump administration because he hasn't had time to root all this out. Trump's been president for a year. He's not even a year yet, 11 months. And people have unrealistic expectations. He can't get to it. You're talking about decades of rooted in. And I'm trying to think of the best sort of verbiage for it, but deep embedded corruption. Where basically people just hand out money for their own. They don't just hand out money. They don't hand out money to help people at all. They're handing out money to continue their own existence. See, look at all the money we're handing out, so we're needed. So keep paying me. And it can be middle class people making, you know, low six figures. It can be middle class incomes. People will do anything to maintenance the status quo of their middle class lifestyle in the United States. And by the way, I'm middle class. I'm not bad mouthing it. I'm just saying people will do anything. We saw it during COVID. They'll do anything. They'll take vaccines and kill themselves. They'll wear masks and kill themselves. Social distancing, lockdowns, quarantines. They'll do anything. Because if you don't, we're going to take your job away from you. People do the same thing here. I'm going to just give away money. They're finding it all over the country. In the state of New York, go in and get a driver's license. They're finding mass corruption because people are receiving checks to just hand out driver's licenses to anybody. And these are Americans that are doing this. So the same thing here. All Obamacare, so everybody understands what it is, very simplistic, but it's actually true, is you and I, our taxpayer dollars, go to insurance companies. And then the insurance companies are the ones who then disseminate the money. They're the ones who actually disperse the money. We're going to trust them? So we give them literally trillions of dollars over the years since Obamacare was enacted. And they're the ones who, these companies are suddenly altruistic and benevolent? This is why people can't get care. Because the less they give out, what happens? If they don't give it out, where does that money go? They keep it. So that's why people aren't able to get care. So why would you do that? If you're going to do this big government operation, then why would you then hand it to insurance companies? Because the insurance companies lobbied DC. Now, what do you do? You know what you do for mostly is nothing. You're like, people need medical care. Listen, most people can pay, as you and I have done our entire lives, is you and I signed up for insurance. If we ever needed to, we paid for our own insurance. It was not subsidized. Obamacare is this. If you have, you get like a good insurance policy that costs, let's say, $1,000 a month. Well, Obamacare comes in and pays $800 of the $1,000 a month for your insurance. And then that policy then speaks for itself as needed. That's how it works. Well, you and I have paid our entire premium. We're not on Obamacare. We don't get a subsidized premium. It's not just subsidized care. It's subsidized premium. Instead of them paying $1,000 a month for insurance or $500 a month for insurance, whatever it is, they get a government subsidy that cuts their premium either to zero or to a small percentage of what full cost would be. You and I don't get any of that because, you know what? We are able-bodied people. You go out and you do what? You 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat. You go to work. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5:8. You go out and work. Now, where the government comes in and where churches come in is we have a legitimately disabled human being. And there are some, but not hardly anybody on SNAP, hardly anybody on Medicaid is actually disabled. Again, the reason why those organizations exist, whether it's Medi-Cal or the Illinois version of Medi-Cal, which is Medicaid subsidized care for the citizens of those states. Most of the people on those, you know, Medicare subsidies, Medicaid subsidies, are fully able-bodied to work and choose not to. Same thing with SNAP. I mean, we covered it. People have SNAP accounts with $65,000 cash in them, and they sell the cash. They actually sell it and make money. If they have $65,000, think about it, they have $65,000 worth of Medicaid, I mean, worth of SNAP benefits in an account. All you do is you sell those credits. You can sell them for, just say, you know, 70 cents on the dollar. So you're going to make, if you have $65,000 worth of SNAP, you can walk away with 50 grand cash and live off of the 15 grand that's extra. That's what they're doing. I mean, and by the way, that's one person that had that. We're talking about millions, millions. That's why we're $38 trillion in debt. And nobody does anything about it. Aaron just sent me $15.2 trillion. Oh, my word.
Yowza.
$15.2 trillion has been paid to U.S. insurance companies since Obamacare was enacted. 15.2. I wonder who lobbied for that. Because as Trump said in his interview, yeah, leave that up. Trump said in his interview, insurance subsidies are up. They're not their subsidies. Insurance stock values are up 16 to 1700% since Obamacare was enacted. So we give them money to then give to other people. And all that the United States government should be doing is having an emergency fund for those who are unable to care for themselves. I mean unable, not because they're depressed or they got a boo-boo on their feelings. Unable to work. I mean, unable to work, unable to buy their insurance. And then what you do is allow everybody to have health savings accounts where you put in your own. But all of us have paid our own insurance premiums and paid our own deductibles I don't know how many times. My son just broke his foot. We paid out. It's the way it is. I'm not running to the government. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Real America's Voice, is that where I'm at?
Yep.
All right, and now the state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker, refuses to cooperate. Why would that be? With the USDA and release their eligibility rules for SNAP. Why would you? Okay, I mean, Aaron, Joe, anybody watching? Tell, or Democrat, if you're watching, tell me, Democrat, tell me the virtuous, righteous, honorable reason why you would not release the eligibility rules for SNAP from your state. Mm. I mean, it's again, why would you not want a forensic audit of your elections? Why? It's a forensic audit. You have Democrats there and Republicans there. Why would you not want that? I'm just curious. Why would you not want voter ID? Democrats, just tell me. Tell me the virtuous reasons why you do not want voter ID. Why J.D. Pritzker won't release the eligibility rules for SNAP for the state of Illinois. Why? Is it because there's mass corruption? Is it because you have the NGOs dispersing the funds? Democrats are getting rich off of that? Is that the case? And they're going to have their benefits cut off. This is what, and again, people can be blackpilled all they want about Trump. Trump is doing more than anybody else has. In my lifetime, 57 years old, he's doing more than anybody else. He does things that I hate. They are more rare than the things that I love, though. He does more that I love than I hate. But anyway, and like I said, we're, you know, as far as the debt is concerned, still not doing well. He's going to have to tackle that. But this is great right here because what he's saying to all these, and they're being sued by California, and Hawaii's another one, because they are refusing to release information. Get this now. It's, you know, if it was an Illinois program, still would disagree with it, but fine. They won't release the information about people who are receiving federal Medicaid, federal SNAP, to the feds. They won't release the information. These are the people in their state who are receiving federal dollars. And the governors, whether it's Newsom or whether it's Pritzker, will not release the data of the citizens in their states that are receiving federal dollars. How does that work? Real America's Voice video. Play for me.
Well, it better because we're going to use it. I'm on the House Agriculture Committee, and I fought very hard to ensure that illegals are not included in SNAP benefits. And now the state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker, refuses to cooperate with the USDA and release the eligibility rolls for SNAP. And they're going to have their benefits cut off, and he can explain it to the citizens in Illinois. But American people have had it. They know that they've been abused. And they want what President Trump is trying to do, and that is transparency in the government and accountability.
Why do you think a governor wouldn't want to let the people who pay SNAP benefits, the federal government, see what's going on there? What are they trying to hide?
Well, we're a destination state for every rotten thing. Obviously, we're for illegals to come here and sign up for every single kind of benefit. We've spent billions of dollars that we don't have on the health care for illegals, and I'm certain that they're all signed up for SNAP benefits as well. And this is all about elections. It's about getting their votes.
Yeah, it is, right? And then I guess at the end of the day, apportionment too, right? Because every illegal that's counted ultimately helps set the formulas for federal funding for representation. Has that been the long game that Democrats have played to use illegal immigration to hijack apportionment?
Absolutely. And we lost one district. Last time, I kind of think we should have lost two. But, you know, there again, in light of voter rolls, if they won't be transparent and they won't tend to the voter rolls and make sure ineligible people, dead people and illegals are not on there, they can have their federal funding withdrawn to run the elections.
Yeah.
Your report now on sanctuary policies in the state of Illinois. Immigration and Customs Enforcement saying that Governor Pritzker is overseeing the release of more than 1,700 dangerous criminal illegal aliens since the 20th of January, including murderers, pedophiles, and kidnappers, sending them back into neighborhoods and putting American lives at risk. It is turnstile justice. And there's more.
I just had to show you everything having to do with J.B. Pritzker right there. So you have, again, and I've already summed it up before the video, that why in the world would you not release information about the citizens in your state to release their information to the federal government who's giving them the benefits that they're receiving from the federal government? I would love to sit down and ask J.B. Pritzker. So you have all of these people in your state that are receiving SNAP benefits from the federal government, and you're refusing to give their information to the federal government so they can see if they're eligible or not. Explain to me the virtue behind that if you're a Democrat and you're watching the show. And just look at those stats. From Benny Johnson, second video was Benny Johnson. There needs to be an immediate investigation into Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. It's being reported that he has released 1,700 violent criminal aliens back onto the streets this year alone. Basically 2,000 people this year alone, including murderers, rapists, pedophiles, and kidnappers, just released back into the streets to make a political statement. Do you honestly believe he cares about the lives of the people of Illinois? Absolutely not. Let's go to the next one. Mario Knopfall video. Opinion. I'll set this one up. I'm just putting this one out there. For people who get very black-pilled about Trump, I want to remind people where we were basically 18 months ago. Play for me.
The Biden administration just responding to this shocking viral video from El Paso, Texas. They blame Republicans. You guessed it. The video is perhaps the most powerful visual encapsulation of President Biden's border crisis and why critics have called the record-shattering migrant crossings an invasion. Watch. looks like a war zone, perhaps a foreign country, but it's not. That's El Paso, Texas, under the Biden administration.
We need to remind ourselves what exactly that we have right now. There's not a soul there. That's El Paso, Texas, what, maybe Eagle Pass, Texas, Shelby Park, whatever. Not one. Last several months, zero people have been released into this country by the Trump administration. Zero. No, it can't be. It's zero. So you have to give credit where credit is due. And it really ticks me off. I have these discussions somewhat frequently. People refusing to acknowledge the great things that Trump does. You need to attack the dumb things that he does. I'm just saying. But again, but acknowledge the greatness of the administration where it's great. Because a lot of pundits, they are now making their bones. They're the ones that are getting their views by being blackpilled against Trump. Well, you're actually being disingenuous and dishonest. Because you need to remember, because they don't ever talk about it, whatever it may be. And I'm going to show you another good story about Trump here too. But they're not even forgetting. It's really about money. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. But anyway. Because their views and their viralness comes from being blackpilled. So, and again, you should never be somebody who has an agenda. You should be somebody who speaks the truth. Your agenda should be whatever is true is what I say. You shouldn't have to defend your narrative. Do you ever notice? I don't have a narrative. If Trump goes fully Democratic, I will turn on Trump. If Trump does something well, I will report on it. If Biden never did anything well, otherwise I would have reported on it. What did he do well? There wasn't one thing. Obama never did any either. I'd have a podcast then. But I mean, I would still say, I did a good job. You'll notice it. I will rip Rand Paul, but when he says something good, same thing with Mike Johnson, I'll put it on there, even though I believe both of them are disingenuous puppets. But anyway, here's another good thing that Trump did. Jack video, major breaking, DEA reports fentanyl pill deaths are dropping fast under President Trump. Play for me.
Encouraging sign in the fight against fentanyl. The DEA says pills seized by their agents are seeing a dramatic decline in potency. And President Trump may be the one to thank for that. Our Fox News senior correspondent Alicia Acuna has got more. She's in Denver now. And Alicia, these are some staggering reductions.
John, this is jaw-dropping data from the Drug Enforcement Administration. National lab test results on illegal fentanyl pills show a drop in the lethal potency of pills on the street from 76% 2 years ago to 29% today. The DEA says it's because the Trump administration is all hands on deck.
We are targeting the global supply network of precursor chemicals that go from China into Mexico. And if we can impact that supply making its way to the Mexican cartels, there's less precursor chemicals available for them to make this product.
The DEA says the cartels are being forced to dilute their product and even charge more per pill. They credit the administration for hitting the illicit drug trade from every direction.
While DEA is focused on the enforcement aspects of the drug trafficking world, there's also other aspects with the administration. It's not my area of expertise, where there's diplomatic efforts by our State Department, the White House, engaging with China on this topic.
Add to this, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol report fentanyl seizures at the southern border are down by more than 50%. Colorado is one of the top three states in the nation with the highest amount of seizures. One example you see in this body cam video where the Douglas County Sheriff's Department recently was alerted to a storage facility where they found 1.7 million fentanyl.
I mean, please understand the statistics in this. Under the Biden administration, basically a year ago, the lethal potency average pill, average fentanyl pill, was 76%. So 76% of fentanyl pills could kill a person. Now only 29% of fentanyl pills could kill a person because their ingredients, the various tenets of those pills, the ingredients that go into them that are made in China going into Mexico, Trump is cutting them off at various sources. Of course now, Chuck Schumer wants to make sure that he defends the lives of those who transport fentanyl ingredients into Canada and various other locations. That's the Democratic Party passionate movement right now. What they're so passionate about, what they're so fervent about, is to make sure that they reopen the drug lanes of fentanyl ingredients so that all of those glorious fentanyl ingredients can get back into Mexico and let's kill more Americans. That's what this is what they're excited about. Again, if you're a Democrat, please show me how that's not true. I would love to see, tell me how that's not true. Oh, we're just trying to defend the lives of narco terrorists on the open seas. Oh, great. But anyway, the lethal potency of these pills is down, 50%. So 50% less pills can kill people now because they're lacking the ingredients to kill, which then shows you that China was trying to kill Americans. And Joe Biden was allowing them to do so, as well as Joe Biden was allowing them to fly their balloons over the United States for 8 straight days and take pictures of our nuclear weapon silos. And everyone, and Democrats are now going, but isn't it funny though? Joe Biden allows China to do that. And then you now have Democrats who are actually trying to keep alive narco terrorists. So how exactly are they on the side of Americans? Explain, give me your viewpoint, leftists. I would love to know, how exactly are Democrats on the side of Americans when they're allowing Chinese fentanyl ingredients to go into Mexico, to cross our southern border, go into Venezuela, because Venezuela and China, China and Putin have now abandoned Venezuela because they're scared of Trump. If that was Biden right now in Venezuela, there would already be multiple military bases. As we already saw, happening in Cuba, because Cuba basically right now is the equivalent of a Chinese aircraft carrier. That would have already been going on in Venezuela also right now if it wasn't for Donald Trump, if Kamala had gotten him. And by the way, what would be the lethal potency average of pills in the United States if Kamala was president right now? Because 76% of all fentanyl pills had the capability of killing a human being, and now only 29% have the capability of killing a human being, because Trump is limiting the precursor chemicals from getting into those pills all around the globe. Oh, Trump, Tom's just pro-Trump. No, I am pro-truth. That's the truth. It's just like that idiot in the pregame where the congressman says, congressman talking to that doctor, whatever her name was. So you're saying that the southern border, that what happened to the southern border was just a spontaneous rush at the border, when we all saw Joe Biden tell them to rush the border. But anyway, this was a spontaneous rush at the border, and it was because of the spontaneous rush of multi-millions of people at the border that Biden administration couldn't control it. But now that spontaneous rush to the border has just stopped, and now there's zero. There's zero motivation to cross the southern border? No, because now they know the border is actually closed. So Trump did it. Trump has done this. That is the way that it is. Trump has lowered gas prices. Look around. It's Trump policies that have lowered gas prices. That's the truth. Now, if you go to the deficit, Trump has caused the deficit to go up. That's the truth. The deficit, the national debt and the deficits have gone up. That's the truth. There's nothing. Again, Tom, don't say that. No, you have to say it. Uh-huh. You don't preach part of the gospel, and you don't tell half-truths. A half-truth is a lie. So, this is the truth. We have the highest debt deficit spending in the history of the United States of America for an October. This October that just passed, the highest October in history. That's the truth. And listen, you look at the tariff revenue coming in and everything. Great. It's great. And that's what I 100%. We did not have an income tax until the glorious year of 1913, where we created the FBI, where we created income taxes, and we created the central bank, yep, and we created the Fed. Didn't have any of that. When, by the way, we didn't have any debt either. Again, it's very similar. You leave this up here. It's very similar to Obamacare. Obamacare is giving all of our money to private insurance companies that are all leftists. The Fed is basically giving all of our money to private bankers. And who initiated all of these things? The very insurance companies and private bankers that benefit from it all. And now what do you and I get? That. Why they get richer and richer and richer and richer. You and I get this. You're like, won't this eventually cause their own system that's enriching them to collapse? Yeah, they're stupid human beings. You can sit here and get rich right now. But if what's causing you to get rich, the policies that are causing you to get rich, will eventually destroy the economic system and the value of the dollar that you're enriching yourself with, then what's the point of enriching yourself? Guess they just believe that they'll hang on that long. They won't live long enough to see the collapse, I guess. But anyway, great job, Donald Trump, on those last two stories. All right, let's get into the religion that I hate, Islam. All right, let's get into this. Sharian collective video titled Immigrate, Increase, Eliminate. This is one of the clearest explanations of how the Islamic invasions work. Play it for me.
Three steps was immigrate, increase, eliminate. Immigrate as a religious refugee, increase the number of your followers and demand political accommodation, and then eliminate the previous culture. So I was speaking in Detroit area, and afterwards had people come up and visit around the book table, and they were telling me about a lady who had a ministry to pregnant mothers. So she shows up at a Muslim house, has a little present. Well, out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. Out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. Out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. All pregnant by the same man. He's practicing Sharia law in his house. And then someone else says, oh yeah, Fazl bought a bunch of houses on the street, has a wife in each one.
What was this?
In Detroit area. The wives go down to the welfare office and say their husband's not around. He goes and visits them, and the more kids they have, the larger the checks get. And he's living like a king at state expense, and all the kids playing in the middle of the street are his children. He's practicing Sharia law on his block. They take over several more blocks, and they vote in the school board. And now they have their Sharia in the schools. And then they take over more blocks. They vote in the police department, fire department. And in Hamtramck, Detroit, they vote in the majority of the city council. They have their minarets, their calls to prayer five times a day, no different than Pakistan. So we see the first ones come in as immigrants, and they're nice. And they're so nice, everybody says they're nice, nothing to fear, let more in. More come in, they gravitate together, form a community. Imam shows up and says, okay, you need to start getting a little more serious about this, more fundamental. Then the burqa start appearing. People say the neighborhood's changing. They move out. More Muslims move in. And then there's always that stickler that says, I refuse to move out. And that's when there's random violence from Muslim youth. And there's no witnesses because no Muslim family dare testify against another Muslim family on behalf of some kafir infidel that's hanging in the neighborhood. And so eventually they take over the entire neighborhood. And they do this neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, block by block, until they take over countries. And there's 1,400 years of track record to observe this pattern. So they took over Egypt, which used to be Coptic Christian. They took over Syria, which used to be Christian. They took over all of Turkey, which used to be Christian. Took over all of North Africa, which used to be Christian. They took Spain, held it for 700 years until the Spaniards drove them out.
See, we forget. We forget Syria was Christian. Egypt was Christian. And they're gone. Iran was not Muslim. I can't claim that they're Christian. They're Persians. They weren't radical Islamists. They weren't at all. Iraq, even Saddam Hussein was not a devout Islamist. Anyway, a devout Muslim at all. So they were more secular. But anyway, we think that all of these countries have been historically Islamic. No, they've been taken over. And you just look at what's happening. I mean, all honestly, and I don't like to be overly philosophical. I like to be very, very specific. But just look at philosophically. What's the difference between Syria and the UK right now? Nothing. Because Syria used to be Coptic Christian and now are completely Islamic, run by Muslims. Same exact thing is happening in the UK, namely with Sadiq Khan's London. It's gone. It's gone. There's no getting it back, really. I mean, there's no getting it back without military action.
Yep.
There's no, and of course the leaders are never going to do that because they'll be called called Islamophobic, which is also part of the invasion tactics, is to come in and befriend and then claim anybody who doesn't accept you is a racist Islamophobic. And by the way, we already have it here. Now, a smaller version here in the United States, but our country is much larger, is Dearborn, Michigan's gone. Minneapolis, St. Paul's gone. They're gone. And then there's numerous other areas of Texas gone. They're gone. They're already, because exactly as the speaker said in the video, they come in, increasing numbers. You have a guy who has 8 different wives and 8 different houses or 8 different rooms producing 2 kids or producing 1 kid per year with 8 women. And obviously, and what happens is, I mean, it was actually that was, I love very specific tactical stories. So you go in and eventually you have enough people where you are now the primary electorate. So then you elect in the school board. We see it. We played the video the other night of a Minneapolis school who their mascot is now a camel, and every single person in the school is Muslim, and you have a few white hangovers that are still there, hanger-oners. And they're just hanging on and open, you know, hopefully it'll turn around. They can't, because now the numbers, they vote in the school board, they vote in the city council, they vote in the chamber of commerce. That's it. It's over. There's no way to ever get it back. Aaron always talks about this, you know, Netflix video about the Roshnisis. It's just like that. Roshnisis came and said, you know what? We want this town. So they came in, and if it's a town of, let's just say, 1,200 people, and your cold has 3,200, it's over. It's over. There's not much you can do about it except to outlaw a certain religion. Now, you're like, how can you do that when we have freedom of religion under the First Amendment in the United States? Because if your religion violates the Constitution, i.e. Sharia law, it can't be in the United States. Christianity doesn't ever violate any constitution because they're never trying to force people into being in our religion. We try to evangelize people into our religion. We offer them our religion. If they choose it, fine. If they don't, they walk away. We don't kill people even if they put a cross in a bottle of urine. We don't do it. You can burn the Bible if you want to burn the Bible. Go right ahead and burn the Bible. You can answer to God for burning the Bible. We don't kill them for that, but see, in true Islamic faith, I don't know what the word is, true Islamicism, I don't know, whatever. But in true Islam, I mean, you're not allowed to do any of this. You can't mock the prophet. Listen, I don't like it when people blaspheme God or blaspheme Jesus, but I'm not going to do anything about it because vengeance doesn't belong to me. That's Romans 12:19. We're actually commanded, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So I don't even like that verse because I'm a vengeful person.
True.
I want to take vengeance. I always want to take vengeance. I wish that Bible verse wasn't in there, but it is, so I adhere to it.
Yep.
But not so. You are commanded in the Quran to imprison, kill, and forcefully indoctrinate people into your religion. So that's how they do it. They immigrate, they increase, and they eliminate. So eventually they take over the school board. Then they take over the Board of County Commissioners. Then they take over the City Commission, and then it's over. And there's no way in except through military force. Shia Klan video. Listen to her chilling words. Typical Islamist. She's telling everyone in the West what is coming. Play for me.
To the Western leaders, your borders are fading. Your disease is being sucked out. And the unity of the Islamic Brotherhood is taking form. The Sons of Islam have already pledged that this battle is a battle of either victory or martyrdom. We reject your flags, and the call for jihad has started, and it won't be long before it is you that will be feasted upon.
So coming into the States, everything from the snow to, you know, the housing, the homes that we were all of a sudden occupying.
It- Mind you, when my technology having to ask look up houses in Somalia, this is what you find.
Everything was a shock, honestly. Every day was something new, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just getting worse. Yeah, so.
So what state did you guys land first of all?
Kansas.
Kansas City.
Of all places, yeah. It was like a boot camp for Maine, basically.
Oh, really?
And I wonder what's living in America like compared to living in Somalia.
Yeah, because it's just like, right, like, I mean, anyone who lives in Maine knows Maine and has ever visited Kansas, they will know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think they know what you're talking about. How about you elaborate? You can't and you won't.
This is a lot.
Interesting.
As a person of color, honestly, yes. Or a black person.
So they invade. I mean, again, they're invading. That's why sometimes you're like, why in the world do they hate the country that they now live in? Because they hate it. They are here as invaders. You think that when you had Americans in World War II dispatched to North Africa to fight Rommel in the desert, everyone was going, ooh, I love it here. Why did no Americans stay there? Because they hate it there. Same thing here. This is an invasion. Yes, sometimes they come in because of the economic benefits, but what is Ilhan Omar? What does she always talk about? What do all the Somalis talk about? We played the street interviews on the podcast this week. You interview Somalis inside of Minnesota. They long to go back to Somalia because this is an invasion. Remember, immigrate, increase, eliminate. And you had that was a Texas delegate, right? That was a Kansas House member. Abdi. Badmouth in Kansas, where she now lives. Oh, the snow, we're so horribly treated. It's like a boot camp. And they showed you, I mean, the content creator showed you the difference between how she lives now and how she lived in her native state, Somalia. And it doesn't even compare. Obviously, now she lives in a symbolic Taj Mahal in comparison to the squalor of Somalia, but she still hates it here because they're invaders. They hate us. But if you dare say anything against them, you're Islamophobic, and all the Democrats will come in and support the very people that'll eventually eliminate them, but they're too stupid to realize it. The Voice of Truth video, the lies Muslims tell us and the truth they hide from us, using Mandami as a principle. Play it for me.
Dream of every Muslim is simply to be treated the same as any other New Yorker. And yet for too long, we have been told to ask for less than that.
This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be a part of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home.
The dream of every Muslim is simply to be treated the same as any other New Yorker.
America will be a Muslim country. Russia will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We have to be a part of that change.
The dream of every Muslim is simply to be treated the same as any other New Yorker.
The Prophet says, the first thing you do is call them to Islam. If they accept it, leave them. Khalas, they're Muslims. We go. If they refuse, then tell them Allah obliged upon you to pay taxation. If they refuse, then we have to fight. And if we fight you, then we capture you, you become our slaves, and we take your land, and you take where, because you refuse, I give you two good options.
The dream of every Muslim is simply to be treated the same as...
The dream of every Muslim is to be treated the same as every other New Yorker, but then you have the clerics saying, what we do is we come in and evangelize, and if you will receive Islamism, you then will become a halal Muslim. If not, then we're going, he actually does this. Then we will tax you, and then if you refuse those taxes, then we're going to kill you. But what the fraudulent, and I'm trying to remember, I'm seeing if Aaron can remember, what's it called when they lie to you at first? Muslim, remember that? If you can find it. They lie to you at first.
That's taqiyya.
Taqiyya. Is that, did I get that right?
Yep.
Say it right.
Taqiyya.
Taqiyya. So they come in just like Zohran Mamdani is doing, is he's lying. He comes in, he says he's pro-gay. He says he's pro-trans. He says that he is pro-America, that he's pro-democracy. What he's actually pro is an Islamic monarchy. He is anti-homosexual. Listen, I'm anti-homosexuality, but I am not going to kill homosexuals. He will have them all killed. All right, so I don't claim to be pro-homosexual and then kill homosexuals. I claim to be against homosexuality because it's a sin in the Bible, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, Revelation 21, 8. But it's a sin, so I call it out for what it is, but then if the person wants to continue to sin, God will deal with them a judgment. Not them, they'll throw them off a 5-story tower. So that's Zohran Mamdani is committing taqiyya right now, lying again. What do? Immigrate, increase, eliminate. So he comes in, they do the taqiyya, and all of those clerics that you saw, now they will speak the truth, but initially they come in and they do the immigrate, increase, eliminate thing until they have a platform to where they cannot be pushed out of power, where they own the city commission, they own the chamber of commerce, they own the school board. Now they say whatever they want because nobody can now take them out of power, i.e. Minneapolis, St. Paul, i.e. Dearborn, Michigan, and areas of Texas also. And then also the other thing, they're going to enter every home. Okay, and Zohran says all they want to do is be treated like every other New York citizen. Really, does every other New York City citizen say that we are going to evangelize you, and if you accept it, you become a halal Muslim. If you don't, we're going to tax you. If you won't pay the taxes, then we're going to kill you. Does every other New Yorker say that we are going to enter every home? You get an enter my home, you'll get a lead vaccination right between your eyes. All right, a Drew Pavlo video, replacement level migration in London. Watch the statistical data. Play for me. Oh, so we start off with 100%. We end up at, hey, put that side by side with Jaren. So there, look at where we started. Look at where we started off at in comparison to where they are right now in London. And like, I don't get in necessarily the white black thing. I look into it as Westerns because there's heritage UK citizens that are black that are conservative there. I'm just saying, if you look at it white as a symbol, look at where it's at. White British, white other. And now look at where it is now, being slowly but surely pushed out by whites, saying that they're virtuous. Why are they doing it? Because they right now are profiting off of it until it turns on them, just like it did the people in Iran. The Persians who allowed in the Muslims Remember, Persia was a very advanced civilization. They allowed in the Muslims. The Syrians allowed in the Muslims. And then they turn into, and that's, what's the greatest Muslim fighting force of all time? None. They just end up in third world mud huts. And that's exactly what Iran is now. And that's exactly what the UK will be. Why? Because white, limp-wristed, effeminate men are allowing it to happen. It's not that they're even allowing it to happen. That's too simplistic. They're instigating it to happen because they professionally, personally, and politically, and financially profit off of it. That's why. And they're like, well, yeah, but eventually it will turn on them. I guess they believe that they'll be dead before it turns on them. All right, that's good. 10:16. Rumble Rants tonight. Jules, 21 hours. $10. Richard Perry, $10. Mike Griffith, $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game. Back here tomorrow night, as always, at 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you. See you then.